Is good, amen? Listen, if you don't feel good, come to church anyway, amen? Because you can feel good here even if you feel bad, but if you'll feel bad there, you won't feel good there or here. So, amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4 with me and stand if you can. 1 John chapter number 4. Last Sunday night, we preached from 1 John 4. And we basically looked at verse number 1, and the title of the message was, Examine Lying Spirits. Now, I have a southern accent, so that's L-Y-I-N-G. Sometimes people don't understand what you understand, amen? Lying. Not lying down, but liar. And so I'm going to read verse number 1 for the context this morning. And I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, as God will help, the discernment of false prophets. We need to be able to discern that which is false versus that which is true. That's why we need to examine lying spirits. All spirits don't tell the truth. And that's why John said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, you know how you can examine a lying spirit is by the test of the Word of God. And if it does not line up with the Scripture, it's a lying spirit. And John is dealing with the heresy of Gnosticism, and I will explain that and exactly what John was dealing with. But the principle is still the same of all false doctrines and all false teachings. I was telling my wife last night, as I was thinking about this message and about the whole context of 1 John and some of the things that John said, I said this, the devil, since John wrote about this Gnostic doctrine and those who were not believing that Jesus Christ was all God and all man, and the only way of salvation, I made this statement, the devil has had 2,000 years to perfect that which is false. He's just added upon. So today we have all of these lying spirits and lying doctrines and things that do not line up with the Scripture. And my friend, one of the most important things you can understand, if you don't believe what the Bible says about salvation in Jesus Christ, you have no hope. And John is appalled by these false teachers that would lead people astray. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 2, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now here's what John says. Those who say that Jesus Christ is all God, yet came in the flesh, meaning that Jesus Christ was all divine and human at the same time. And it was not only while he was on the earth, but it's always been, and it still is today. He sits on the right hand of God the Father. But notice verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I will say to you this morning that the standard by which teachers can be measured is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. For Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful that we can know the truth, and we also know that the truth will set a man free. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would examine lying spirits and that we would discern false prophets. And Lord, I would not want to harm somebody's spirit, but at the same time, I would never want to compromise the truth of God's Word, especially when it comes to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and when it comes to the way of salvation, which is exclusive only in Jesus Christ. And I'm very grateful, Lord, that You are a saving God and a loving God. I am very grateful that the truth of Thy Word is very clear. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would examine not only lying spirits, but we would discern false prophets. And I pray, Lord, that it might be concise and clear, the message from John that You gave to those hearers in that day are still as relevant for us today. Lord, we love You. We thank You for salvation that can only be found through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, though, that we would understand we live in the day of Antichrist. We live in the day of false apostles and false prophets. And Lord, we want to just believe Your Word and understand Your truth today. And so I pray You would help me in the next few minutes. And if there is one here that has been involved in false prophets and lying spirits, that the Word of God would set them free. In Jesus Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Now John, the beloved apostle, I'm telling you, you could see a transformation of this man's life if you were to read about him in the Gospels and how we have seen him in the book of Mark and how Jesus Christ has declared that he would be one of the sons of thunder. He was a man who literally toward the end of Jesus Christ's ministry headed to the cross of Calvary, looked at Jesus Christ with the approval of his mother and even allowed his mother to be involved in asking Jesus, would it be okay if I could sit on the right hand or on the left hand? And could I be very special in your kingdom? To the one who would lay his head on the breast of Jesus and say, who is it that is going to betray you? To where we are today in this particular passage where this beloved apostle John, who will be later exiled to the Isle of Patmos and will be given the revelation of Jesus Christ, is just about upset with lying spirits and false prophets. And John gives us the standard by which these teachers can be measured. And these teachers could be measured by what John said in that day. And we know the Word of God is just as relevant for our day. And here's what you can grab a hold of. And here's what you can understand this. Now you listen, you can apply this measurement and you can apply this standard for today. False prophets can be identified by their attitude and their teaching concerning the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. And just because somebody's on TV and they say the word Jesus Christ does not mean it's the same Jesus Christ of the Word of God. Because their attitude toward the Jesus of the Bible and their attitude of God's work is not necessarily lining up with Scripture. And brother, when it doesn't line up with Scripture, you have identified a lying spirit and you have discerned a false prophet. Some of these false prophets, listen to this. Now this is what John was dealing with himself. Here he is in the middle of ministry and dealing with salvation and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and trying to get people into the kingdom of God. He was dealing with those people who were false teachers of his day. And brother, you can rest assured we've got plenty of them today. And I'm not going to hold back when some man stands up and says that you can be saved anyway. That's a false prophet. Some man stands up and says that Jesus died for a select few. That is a false prophet. Somebody stands up and tells you that you have to be baptized for salvation, that is a false prophet. Somebody tells you today that you've got to have some kind of work for salvation, that is a false prophet. Somebody says you have to have speaking in tongues as evidence of salvation, that is a false prophet. Somebody tells you today that you can lose your salvation, that is a false prophet. And yet those are the things that we deal with in Christendom as a whole today, and they do not measure up with who Jesus Christ is. They do not measure up with what the Word of God says, and there are many people that are on their way to a Christless hell because they have failed to identify the biblical aspect of the work of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let me just get down to what John was dealing with. He was dealing with people who denied the humanity of Jesus Christ. They denied the humanity of Jesus Christ. Notice the phrase John uses, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, my friend, you can't get any clearer the incarnation of Jesus Christ through the virgin birth as spoken about in Isaiah chapter 9 and given to us in Matthew chapter number 1, that Jesus Christ did not come from man. He was conceived in the womb of a woman named Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. Therefore, he did not have a human sin nature, but rather he had a God-divine nature. And so that when he was born into the world, while he came in human form, he did not give up his divinity. He is divine in every aspect. He was human in every aspect. And the Bible tells us why those things are important, so that he could know the feeling of our infirmities. He could know, but at the same time, he would never have been able to save us if he wasn't God, but yet he would not be approachable if he wasn't a man. Therefore, the incarnation through the virgin birth, Jesus Christ is all God and he is all man. And there were false prophets of that day, just like there are false prophets of today who deny Christ's humanity. I'll tell you about them in just a minute. So if you were to get right down to it, the specific doctrine that John is dealing with here is, of course, the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the truth that God took upon himself human nature. The Gnostics is what they were called. You may have heard the word Gnostics or Gnosticism. In the Gnostics of John's day, they separated the flesh from the spirit. And I begin to think about that. How can you separate the flesh from the spirit? And here's what I came to my conclusion is, and I know this is deep, but if you separate the flesh from the spirit, you're dead. Man is a triune being. He has a soul, he has a spirit, he has a body. When the soul and the spirit are taken from the body, we declare them dead, yet we know they're not really dead. Only the flesh, or only the body is dead. The spirit and the soul continue to live. That's right. Amen. The spirit of man that's dead in trespasses and sin can be made alive through salvation in Jesus Christ. And when a man is made alive, he is no longer dead. He is made alive and can commune with God. But the Gnostics separated the flesh from the spirit, and they believed that the flesh or the human body was evil and the soul and the spirit was good, which is not biblical. We're all sinners. They taught, therefore, that God could not possibly have come in the flesh. And so they would teach this doctrine that there is no way that a human person could be God, which I disagree with, because the scriptures make it very clear. And here's what John therefore said. Every spirit that confesseth, verse 3, not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. Amen. All right? So they're false teachers. They're heretical teachers. There were also those who denied his deity, meaning that Jesus Christ was just a man. Now this is what the Muslims teach.
That's right.
The Muslims teach that Jesus Christ was a good man, but he was not God. They're wrong.
Amen.
They're false.
Amen.
They're not of God. They claim that he was human, and because he was human, he could not be God. Now, I'm not going to go in a great doctrinal dissertation, but John 1:1, I can tell you this, says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and he became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus Christ identified himself as God in John 8:58. The Jews understood that Jesus claimed to be God in John 5:18, and they took up stones to throw at him because they considered it blasphemous to equal yourself with God. Yet every miracle and everything that Jesus Christ did showed what only God could do. Now, therefore, we come to today and we say, well, listen, let's take the test and apply it to today. False teachers have read this verse, by the way. You understand that? And they point blank deny Jesus Christ's deity. They're religious imposters. They may sometimes say the same words that we say, but when you get right down to it, based on what their belief system is, they don't believe what the Bible says. Now, let me just tell you what a false prophet is. A false prophet is a thief and a robber. And a thief and a robber tries to approach God in some other way than what God requires. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ said that false prophets are the same as thieves and robbers. Now, a thief don't call you up on the phone and say, hey, I'm going to be coming and stealing some stuff tonight. Because that his nature would not allow him to do that. His nature is that he's going to try to do it some way other than the way that you're supposed to do things. And they are called thieves and robbers because they rob God of his sheep and they rob the sheep of the shepherd. And thieves have certain traits. They're usually very slick. They're usually very sly. And they're usually very sneaky. He is cunning and clever in robbing his victims. And the same is true of a religious thief. They'll say some right words, but when it comes right down to it, they don't believe the Bible. Now, when you ask a false prophet if he believes in Jesus, let me tell you what he'll say. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of them, if you ask if you believe Jesus Christ is God, sometimes they'll stride out and say no, and sometimes they'll say yes, but in reality deny the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Now let me give you an example. If you were to ask a false prophet, and I've heard this false prophet who's very prevalent in our society, do you believe that Jesus Christ is exclusively the only way of salvation? His answer will be, now listen. I'm just telling you, I've heard this from him. Well, we believe that you know, you can get to God in many ways. That's a false prophet. Now, brother, the Spirit of God that resides in you should cause you to look on the TV when that happens and say, click. I'm not listening to false prophets. They're thieves. That guy's a thief. He is a liar. He is not telling you the truth. Listen to me. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said in John 14, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Therefore, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation and that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation is exclusive no matter what other religions say. Doesn't matter what the popular TV preacher says. Doesn't matter what the interview guy says on the TV. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. If anyone does this, you know he is a false prophet because he does not meet the test of who Jesus Christ is. Now, John is not requiring the intellectual knowledge of an historical event. Because I believe this, that even people who are lost and on their way to hell believe that Jesus Christ was a historical figure. They believe that he died on a cross. They believe that he was a good man. They even may believe that he performed a few miracles, but they don't believe he is God if they don't believe he's the only way of salvation. You will notice that John used both Jesus and Christ, the word Jesus and the word Christ. I'm sorry, excuse me. Got something stuck in my throat. He used the word Jesus and the word Christ in his test of false prophets. Jesus is his name, but Christ is his title. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the only way. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. The Jehovah Witnesses are a good example of false prophets that John is speaking of. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. My friend, you can't deny the deity of Jesus Christ and ever make it to heaven. You are a false prophet if you do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I even went to some of their... Here's what they say. They say in their studies, volume 1, page 188, they believe that that God created Christ Jesus. That's what they teach. They say this, and I quote, "He was the first and direct creation of Jehovah God. He was the start of God's creative work." No, time out. He created the world. Amen. Because he is God. He was not created because God cannot be created. So anyone that says that Jesus Christ is a created being is a false prophet. False prophet. Some insist that Jesus, when on earth, was both God and man in completeness. And listen, that theory is wrong. Because it's easy to see Jesus could not be part God and part man. No, 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 no. He was all God and he was all man. So preacher, are you saying Jehovah Witnesses are false prophets? Yes. 100% absolutely. I could also go to Mormonism that denies the virgin birth and the deity of Jesus Christ. And they teach that the Virgin Mary became one of the wives of Adam. And that Jesus was their child by natural generation. They deny the virgin birth and the deity of Christ, and they claim that Jesus was a polygamist, that Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, and Martha were among his many wives. That's blasphemous. That is false. That's heresy. And they're false prophets. I lived with a Mormon for 3 months when I was in the Air Force. When you're in the Air Force, it's almost like a college setting. When you go to school, you don't pick your roommate. They pick the roommate for you. I was a lost man. I did not know salvation. I was not saved. And I lived with a Mormon for 3 months, and he read the Book of Mormon, and he said, "I'm going to give you a Book of Mormon. Would you read it?" I said, "Yeah, I'll read it." So I started reading it, and I'm telling you, as a lost man, I looked at that guy and said, "This is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life." I wasn't even saved. I didn't even have the Spirit of God, but I had the spirit of sense. Amen. I had common sense to know that that was a fairy tale that was being read. And I said, "Listen, you can take this thing. I don't care what you do with it. I'm glad that God was gracious to me and showed me the truth and I got saved." But even as a lost man, I understood the falseness of that. They also claim that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers created by God. That is heresy. Those are false prophets. And John told us right there. He told us right there, before Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses ever came into the world, John said they're false prophets. They're no different than the Gnostics that I'm dealing with. Telling you, these people, they use Bible terminology, but they hide their false doctrine well. And the bottom line is, they do not believe Jesus Christ to be the Savior. I will even tell you that one of them, an Elbert Talmage, said Christ's atonement was not sufficient for personal sins. Yes, it is. How about the blasphemous words of Joe Smith himself, who said, "Those who live lives of wickedness may also be heirs of salvation. That is, they too shall be redeemed from death, from hell eventually." No, they won't. Not unless there's a blood atonement. And the blood atonement must be by Jesus Christ. The deity of Christ is one of the foundational truths of Christianity. Christ's deity is clearly taught throughout the whole Word of God. And church, listen to this. And you go, "Well, okay, preacher, we got that. But what about these mainline denominations?" Listen to me. Those who say baptism is necessary for salvation is false. Though Jesus is revealed as Jehovah God in human form, God the Father directly calls Jesus God. Those who teach that you must be baptized to be saved, or those who say, well, now God only died for a select few. I'm telling you, Calvinism is not God. In fact, John Calvin, let me tell you this, was no friend of the Baptists. He killed Baptists. He had Baptists killed. And there would be Baptists who would stand up and say, well, I'm a Calvinist. I'm not. I'm a Baptist. And the word Calvinist and Baptist don't go together. Absolutely not. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. And the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all, and it's efficient for those who come to Him in salvation. And I'm not being ugly, my friend, but I'm telling you, you believe you can lose your salvation? That's not Bible salvation. Because Bible salvation, listen, is called eternal life. And if you can lose something that is eternal, then it can't be eternal. So how do we defeat false prophets? Well, verse number 4. Tells us how to defeat false prophets. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what false prophets are? They are of the world. You understand that? That's why John made it clear back when he said, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. Don't love the world. False prophets love the world. False prophets are in line with the world. We, on the other hand, have overcome the world. And the Christians should not be confused by false prophets. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit of God to teach them the truth. Those who know Christ are of God. We are His children. Because of our relationship to Christ, we have overcome them. Overcome who? In the context, we have overcome false prophets. Well, I thought that verse talked about the devil. Oh, well, just so you'll know, the devil's in charge of false prophets. And the more falseness he can get out there, the better off he is. But the word overcome here means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. That's why I'm not going to be intimidated by false prophets. And that's why I'm not going to quit preaching against the Muslims. And the Catholics who teach works for salvation, and the Camelites who teach baptismal regeneration, or the Charismatics who teach you can lose your salvation. I'm not going to quit preaching against the dead church, the live church, the red church, the blue church, the vine church, the tomato church, which, by the way, ain't a church in the first place. So really all it is live and dead and red and tomato and vine, and whatever. But it ain't a church. Oh, preacher, you're just not going to be politically correct. Ding, 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 ding. Because political correctness is going to take people to hell is what's going to happen. When the Spirit of God is in control and leading a believer, I'm going to tell you right now, the world and its false doctrines do not have a chance. When I got saved, the first people that came to me were people that said this: have you spoken in tongues since you believed? And here's what I said: really? Is that what you're supposed to do? And they said, oh yeah, it's evidence of your salvation. I said, really? Man, I thought evidence of my salvation was I quit saying what I used to say. And the Holy Spirit of God came into me and gave me the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that yesterday I was blind and today I see. And the things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. And the places that I used to go, I don't go anymore. And the music that I used to listen to, I don't listen to anymore. And that the Spirit of God moved into me, and all of a sudden they're telling me I've got to do this. So I went and got me a King James Bible. I got me a blank sheet of paper. I got me one of them strong concordances. And I started studying the Word of God, and it took me 4 days to realize they were lying spirits and false prophets. And I went and told them so, and they told me I was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I told them, no, the Holy Ghost lived within me, and He told me to tell you you're a bunch of idiots. And I've been doing this ever since. Because I'm standing on biblical ground. And again, I'm not trying to be ugly to anybody or their faith or what they believe, but my friend, it don't line up with Scripture.
That's right.
You want to talk about tongues? Let's do that if that's what you want to talk about. Tongues were known languages so people could hear the gospel in their own language. And if you believe in Bible tongues, then you shouldn't have to go and learn a language if you're going to go somewhere. And the tongues that the Bible is speaking about ain't what's going on out here today and people talking about. Amen. Two different things. It's a different spirit.
Amen.
Absolutely. And we have to discern false prophets. And one of the ways you can do that is, does it line up with the Scripture, and what do they say about Jesus Christ? And just because a guy uses the name Jesus but then says he's not the only way of salvation, that's a false prophet. And John made it very clear that not only do we have to examine lying spirits, but we have to discern false prophets. And the reason for the believer's victory is not his intellect. Because I'm not that intelligent. And it's not in his ability, because I don't have a lot of ability. It's not in his theological training. It's in who lives inside of him. And in no uncertain terms, John declares that the believer's victory is the result of God's Holy Spirit's leadership, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ has already conquered the devil. He's already conquered false prophets. False prophets line up with the world because the world lines up with the devil. And the only reason that Satan wins in a believer's life or can have any kind of victory in a believer's life is if the believer submits to him. Otherwise, he can't win. The Holy Spirit who indwells every true believer cannot be overcome by Satan. As a result of Christ's work on the cross, listen to this. We have victory. I don't do anything to lose. I don't win, but I don't do anything to lose. But the greatest victory of all is my salvation. And the victory over false prophets and false teachers. And I'm telling you, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ broke Satan's authority over all of this false stuff. And his death redeemed sinners and passed judgment on Satan. And Jesus Christ has conquered the enemy. Notice that Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers. He made an opening showing of them. He listened, it is for all the world to see. Now here's what you got to understand, and I want you to listen to me and I'll be done. They are not of the world. They are of the world. That's why verse number 5 says, in the context of false prophets, lying spirits, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's only because the devil has blinded your eyes to the truth. And if you'll let God speak to your heart and understand the truth of God's word, you will understand what I've been preaching, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save. A man must repent of his sins and trust Christ as his Savior. And the Bible says the world hears and accepts the teaching of false prophets. I've always got people coming to me, "Preacher, how come these false prophets and all of these false churches are so full of people?" Because they're of the world. They're not of God. They're of the world. The world hears and accepts the teaching of false prophets largely because they are promoting what, listen to this, they're promoting what the world wants to hear. So when anybody comes along and they say, now listen, what we're trying to do is we're trying to see what people want. And we're going to build a congregation based upon what people want. Brother, that's dangerous. Instead of building on what does Jesus Christ Amen. Want. So now we have places that are full of what people want and not what God wants. Amen. Maybe we should find out what the Bible says about what God wants Amen. Rather than what people want. That's why we have football parties at church, because people want football. People, the reason we have entertainment at church and all this wild stuff, because that appeals to the flesh, and people want to be entertained.
That's right.
If you want to be entertained, go to Branson or watch TV, but that's not church.
That's
Church is where the Word of God teaches us that we're sinners and we need to be saved, and that our life needs to line up with God. And we as preachers don't need to be going, well, I wonder what the people want. Man, if you get my email and I do what everybody wants, we'd be going in this direction and that direction and this direction, around this direction, and we'd be doing this and we'd be doing that, and we don't know, I don't know what we'd be doing, but we wouldn't be doing what God wants us to do. Somebody say amen or oh me or something. Listen, the Bible's pretty simple. Preach the Word of God. Confront people with what the Bible says. Repent. Get right with God. And be in relationship and fellowship with Him. My soul, if your soul didn't meet up with the music that we heard this morning, then your soul ain't saved. That's godly. They don't mind teaching that Jesus was a good man, but to teach that He's the Savior and that all men are hopelessly lost without Him, folks, that's not acceptable to the world. He is speaking of one who has never experienced the new birth. He has been born into the world, and he is of the world. He is blind to the truth because he has never been regenerated by the Spirit of God. He is in a natural state, for he is a natural man. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God lives within you. And you can go to the Word of God and see this. Jesus is the only way of salvation. That that God gets glory through the church. That we're to live holy lives. That we're to be separated from the world. And it won't be grievous. But if you're of the world, you need to be saved. Amen. And you know what? There's only one way of salvation. Amen. And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not that hard to discern false prophets.
That's right.
And you can examine the spirits, whether they be of God. And all of them don't tell the truth. Because if they're of the world, if they're of the flesh, or they're of Satan, they will lie to you.
That's right.
Just like a thief. And just like a robber. But you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Father, I'm asking this morning that every child of God would be very discerning this morning of false prophets, false teachings, false ways, lying spirits that do not line up with the inerrant, infallible, perfect, preserved Word of God. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that is not saved, that they would understand the Bible truth that there is only one way of salvation. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would be about His office work this morning, and that we would be discerners of that which is true and that which is false. And Lord, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God in any way, it's false. If it denies the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ, it is false. It is Antichrist. It is of the world. And Lord, You've already told us in John's preaching as he wrote to us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things are not of the world, and the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then I'm reminded that the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So if there's anyone here, Lord, that's outside of Your loving and saving grace, I pray You'd speak to their heart and show them their need. If there's somebody here, Lord, that they've been hooked up with something false, something that's directly opposed to the Word of God. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would show them the truth, and they would move far away from that which is false. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. 451, Brother John's going to lead us in trust and obey.